in James, the first chapter, and we look there at verse 5. James 1 and verse 5 says, "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given to him." I want you to notice that wording. It shall be given to him. Not might be given to him. If any of you lack wisdom, you ask of God, it will be given. It shall be given to you. I want to use that as a basis for the sermon, not about asking for wisdom. I pray that we all do that. Here is something that's been given to us by God that is a blank check, signed and ready to be delivered. Carte blanche. You want wisdom, you ask God, you will receive it. Why wouldn't we take God up on that? Why would we not ask for wisdom? And in the same way, I want to talk to you this afternoon about dealing with our cares. And Judy has said that, I believe it was her son said, that the year 2021 is saying about the year 2020, you think 2020 was bad, just watch. And things are somewhat taking place that way. There's always been cares and concerns. And no one is exempt from that. No one has a vaccine for that. Cares and concerns come upon us, and quite often daily. And it's because of the type of world that we live in today that those cares come upon us. Because we're living in a world where the people around about us are not melded and making their decisions on the things that are of the light, but rather the things that are of the world, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. When that takes place, and the majority do that, and that's the majority of the world, no wonder that cares and concerns comes upon Christians. It's a natural fallout from that situation. We're going to look and see, and hopefully we will establish that just as God said, if you lack wisdom, I will give it to you. Just ask. And in the same way, I think that we can see in Scripture, if there are cares and concerns in your life, let it be known, and I will help. And we'll see how He does that. First of all, dealing with our cares, all of us have that. Jesus had concerns while He was here upon this earth. When we look at Luke the 13th chapter, verse 34 and 35, He prayed over Jerusalem. This is before He went to the cross. "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the one who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her, how often I wanted to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, but you were not willing. See, your house has left you desolate, and assuredly I say to you, you shall not see me until the time comes when you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." The Lord here is talking to Jerusalem about what was going to take place to them in AD 70. And that was the destruction of Jerusalem. And he prayed, and when we look in other accounts, not only was he praying, he was weeping over the lack of faith that his own people had concerning what God had for them. They would not obey His will. And that destruction in AD 70 of Jerusalem was brought upon them because of their sin. Not only that, we understand that that had to take place in order to usher out completely the Mosaic law that they were no longer under. And it had that effect also. But Jesus had concerns. And Jesus also, when he had concerns, looked to his brethren. I want you to notice that when we look in Matthew 26, verses 36 through 46. And there it says, "Then Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane and said to the disciples, sit here while I go and pray over there. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee. And he began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed. And he tells now these three, My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch with me." Jesus reached out to his brethren. Stay here and watch with me. They didn't understand, and I understand, and you understand that they didn't understand what all was going to take place. It had not been long before this that Peter said, whenever Jesus said, I'm going to be crucified, I'm going to be mistreated by the Jews and crucified, and in 3 days I will rise again. Peter said, that will not happen to you, Lord. I will not allow that to happen. There was misunderstandings. We understand that. But even with the misunderstandings, the men that he traveled with for 3.5 years, he goes to them. He goes to them and he says, "Watch with me." He leaned on his brethren in time of distress. We know what took place, of course, after this. They fell asleep while Jesus went into the garden and prayed the prayer, "Lord, if there's any other way that your will can be accomplished, let that take place, but not my will, but your will be done." And of course, there was no other way, and the Lord knew that, but the human part of Jesus also knew exactly, down to every stripe that he was going to experience, what was going to happen to him. But still, he called upon his brethren. He comes back, he finds them asleep. And he says, "Can't you watch with me for 1 hour?" He goes back and prays again the same prayers. Comes back again, and again they're asleep. That was the fault of the brethren, but I want the main point for you to notice here is that even in distress, God manifest in the flesh asked for help from his brethren, from those that were with him, from those that were followers of God. He leaned on them. The God of heaven manifest in the flesh leaned on his brothers while he was here upon this earth. Don't you think that if that was the case with Jesus, that should be the case with us? Jesus wasn't the only one. Paul had concerns. Paul had concerns. We see this when we look in 2 Corinthians 11, chapter verse 24 through 28. He says, "From the Jews 5 times received I 40 stripes minus one." Stop right there for just a moment. And I'm complaining about a mask. How foolish is that, right? 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I've been in the deep. In journeyings often, in perils of the water, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of Gentiles, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and toil and sleeplessness often, in hunger, thirst, fastings often, in cold and nakedness, besides the other things which comes upon me daily," those things that he just got through mentioning, "my deep concern for all the churches." You know, from time to time, and hopefully not too much, but from time to time I give sermons concerning warning. And I see it needful because of the Bible and the record of the Bible, the record even of the New Testament, of the warnings that are given because of the world that we're living in. Because of people that are not like-minded with us that would have their own way. And because of that, Paul had concern for all the churches. And rightfully so. You think about 1 Corinthians when he wrote to those of Corinth. And he talks to them about their divisions, chapter 1. Talks to them in chapter 2 and says, "I could not present the gospel to you as those that understood because you're still babes, you don't understand." Chapter 5, we need for people to have their sound muted, please. Chapter 5, a man had his father's wife. Chapter 6, they were going to law over matters that should be settled in the church. Chapter 7, there were those that were leaving their spouses because they weren't Christians. Chapter 11, there were those that were defiling the Lord's Supper. Chapter 12, there were those that because of their freedom were destroying the faith of others in eating meats. Chapter 15, there were those that were saying there is no resurrection. Was there good reason for Paul to have concern over the churches? Oh yes. Oh yes, that was just Corinth. Think where Ephesus got to. Take a look, if you would, over in Revelation, the second chapter, and begin reading in verse 1 concerning the church at Ephesus. And look what they had been involved in. And the Lord warned them, if you don't change, if you don't repent, I will come quickly and remove the candlestick, my fellowship with you, out of its place. There were concerns that he had. But Paul also, with all those concerns, he looked to his brethren just as the Lord did. And we see that in 2 Timothy, the 4th chapter, verse 9 through 13. Be diligent to come to me quickly, for Demas has forsaken me. That's going to happen from time to time. There will be those that will leave the truth. When they don't focus on the truth, and they don't focus on the Lord, they will leave the truth. And Demas did exactly that. Having loved this present world, he departed for Thessalonica, Cretans to Galatia, Titus to Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you, for he is useful to me for the ministry. And Tychicus I have sent to Ephesus. Bring the cloak that I left with Carpus at Troas when you come, and the books, and especially the parchments. He is in prison, and he's reaching out to his brothers. Specifically, here he's reaching out to Timothy. Luke is already with him. But he's reaching out to his brother. I need your assistance. I need your help. I need the comfort that you can give me. Not only you, but also in what you bring to me. And he wasn't shy about asking the brethren for help. Because there was a realization of the fact that brethren are there for a reason for each and every one of us. First of all, there are things we all need help with. Each and every one of us. In a congregation that I was with several years ago, there was a man that was facing surgery, and his condition was dire. And the doctors suspected that he was ate up with cancer inside. And they went, and they were going to be going in. It was going to be a Tuesday after the Sunday services. And he came to me and said, I just want to tell you, I don't want anybody else to know, but I'm going to be having surgery. They're going to see if they can find out what's wrong. But I don't want anything said about it. I looked at him, I said, okay, so you don't want the prayers of the saints, is that right? And he kind of looked at me. You don't want the effectual fervent prayer of righteous men to be prayed for you. You don't want that, right? You can handle all this by yourself. And you'll be okay. No reason to pray to God on your behalf. Is that correct? And he said, would you make that announcement? I want the brothers to pray for me. There are things that we all need help with. Think about it from 1 Peter 5, chapter, verse 1 through 9. And Peter, first of all, starts talking out in verse 1, going through verse 2 about the work of the eldership. And then we come to that's actually through verse 3. And then he talks to the young people in verse 5 that they submit themselves to the elders or the older people. And all of you be submissive to one another. Be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. I want you to notice before he says in verse 6 what he said there at the end of verse 5. God resists the proud, be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, because of that, because of giving grace to the humble and being humble, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your cares upon Him, for He cares for you. We need to realize that Christ Jesus is there for our salvation. Christ Jesus is there for our learning and our growth spiritually. We also need to realize that He is there for all the cares that this world can place upon us. And what He's saying in all those cares that He places upon us, you put those cares on me. And I'll promise you that He is the only one that absolutely can handle all of them. We can't. We're human. But He can handle every one of them. And He says that also, and you kind of have bookends here, be humble. In verse 5, and then here's the other end of the book in verse 8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil walks around as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. we go into taking our own concerns and cares just upon ourselves, not placing it upon the Lord, first of all, nor brethren, as we've already talked about. And you see, we're not going to be able to resist the Satan. And that's what he's saying there with that back part of this verse, the back bookend of this verse. You need the Lord's help. Brethren are given to us for support. Spiritual support, certainly, and that's the most important. We understand that. Galatians 6, chapter verse 1 and 2. Brethren, if any man be overtaken in a trespass, in a sin, you that are spiritual, restore such one in the spirit of meekness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. He didn't say care only about yourself, but he said put those cares also on your brethren. Have them help you with your spiritual strength. Have them help you with your spiritual well-being. You know, when we go back and think about what we just read in 1 Peter, the 5th chapter, about the humility, to not ask in times of need and concern, that's prideful. It's prideful. Whenever Isla, our little three-year-old granddaughter, she's 8 now, when she was about to have open heart surgery to repair the defect with her heart, I know that this congregation prayed for her. I will tell you that there were fervent prayers that were given in the prison down in Cuero. There were prayers that were being made in Waller. There were prayers being made all over the country for that little girl. And we welcomed every one of it. And yes, the prayer was answered. And it was answered in the positive, because she's a normal little child today. And we thank God for that. But we didn't say, you know, well, we don't want to place burdens on anybody else. This is our situation. It's with our family. We're just going to keep it to ourselves. No. No, we wanted the brethren to pray. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. We wanted the brethren to pray. And for you that did pray, thank you so much. Thank you so much for doing that. Also, in connection with spiritual support, it is that we are aware of one another. That's part of fellowship. True fellowship as the Scriptures define it. Brethren, James 5, verse 19 and 20. James 5, 19 and 20. Brethren, if any among you wander from the truth and one converts him from the error of his way, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sin. Well, the attitude is not that we are to have, well, they're on their own now. I knew that if they went and did that, that was not going to turn out good. If they had asked me, I could have told them. You see, there's a proactive part in this from each and every one of us to others, that we might see something that's taking place in someone's life. Because we know them so well, because we're interested in them, because we are brothers and sisters together with them in Christ Jesus. And so we have care and concern for them. Certainly about the spiritual, we understand that. That's primary. But also support in times of trial, tribulation, concerns that people have. Look at Romans 12, chapter verses 3 through 8, and then also verses 15 and 17. Paul, beginning Romans 12, chapter verse 3, "For I say, through the grace of God given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to everyone in measure of faith." You remember last week when I drew the subjective on the board there? I had the subjective that looks inward. Then I had the objective that looks upward. We are not to be turned inward as brethren with one another. We are to be encompassing our brother and sisters and always looking upward. We use that same diagram for this application. And so, he says in verse 4, "For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we being many are one body and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given us, let us use them." And these are not, I don't believe that these are not in context, spiritual gifts, but the abilities that we have. If prophecy, he says, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. If we serve or ministry, he says, let us use it in our serving. He who teaches in their teaching. He who exhorts in exhortation. He who gives with liberality. He who leads with diligence. He who shows mercy with cheerfulness. And then he says in verse 15, rejoice with those who rejoice. And weep with those who weep. Well, you know, I'm just on my own out here. I know. I don't want to look for comfort. I don't want to bother anybody. I've got these cares and concerns that are upon me. And they're preying on my mind night and day. But I'm not going to ask anyone. I'm not going to say anything to anybody because I can handle it. And that's the attitude of so many. But we can't always handle it. Sometimes we need that support. And so he says in verse 16, be of the same mind one toward another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. I can handle it. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. You know, when we call upon our brethren, our brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, for support of the cares that we have in this life, we are calling upon those that have been prepared for us for that very purpose. That's what brothers and sisters are about. Especially our spiritual brothers and sisters. To give that support when there is time of need in our life. The Lord gave us brethren for that. If we can think about, if we think that we can handle all things of our, in and of ourselves, we're not showing the proper humility. If we can think that we can do more than the Lord did, and the Lord looked upon His brethren for support. He didn't get it, but He still looked there. Who are we to say, well, I'm not going to ask a brother or sister to help me. I don't want to bother them. Let me tell you what. I know this congregation well enough. I don't care if I haven't been here physically for a year. I know you. And I know that there is not a brother or sister here that will think less of anyone that are having cares and concerns, and that they will give themselves over to you for your support, if you are needing support for your cares and concerns in this life. This is a loving congregation. This is a group that is ready to serve the Lord and support their brethren. And just as God had said back in James 1st chapter and verse 5, if you want wisdom, ask, and you'll get it. If you want support, just ask, and it is there. It is there from our brothers and sisters. Do any here have needs this evening? Let me tell you, first of all, if you're not a Christian, you have a dire need. If you're not a child of God, you are in jeopardy. You are in a dire situation. 2 Timothy 2, verses 25 through 26, especially there in verse 26, you need to come to your senses, and the reason being is you are in opposition to God. And that is not a place to be. But you can change that, and guess who will assist you this evening? Your brethren will. If you're not a child of God, we can baptize you for the remission of your sins. And then you will have a support network that the world would be envious of if they would just open their eyes and look at it. There's not a support network on this earth greater than Christians. Helping Christians. And helping those that want to become Christians. If you were once a Christian but have left the Lord, you're in jeopardy. And we think about that from 2 Peter the 2nd chapter, verses 20 through 22. You are like the proverbial dog in verse 22 that returns to its vomit. Having escaped the world, becoming a Christian, and then entering back into sin again, you are like that proverbial dog, and you're like the sow, the pig, that has gotten clean but went back to her wallowing in the mire. That's not a place to be. But you know, the cleansing blood of Christ Jesus is ready to work for you, and He does that. We understand that from 1 John, the 2nd chapter, verses 1 and 2. And He's the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And His blood continues to work in forgiveness, even with Christians. If you just need support from your brethren, this congregation is so willing to help. Don't be prideful. Ask for help. I want you to think about this from 1 Peter 1 and verse 22. Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart. I stated earlier, one of the purposes of Christians is to give that support. And there it is right there in verse 22. 1 Peter, the first chapter. Paul says in Romans 15, verse 30, "Now I beg you, brethren, through the Lord Jesus Christ and through the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in prayers to God for me." Paul wasn't bashful to ask. And here it is, right here. And really, this is a two-way street. Hebrews 13, verse 1, "Let brotherly love continue." Well, I'll help you, but I'm not going to ask you to help me. That's not brotherly love. That brotherly love is back and forth, the two-way street, so that all are helped. Because your helper, one day, if you ask them to give you that support when in time of need, may be the next day the one that you're giving support to. Because we all live in this wicked world. Oscar, why don't you come forward and get the song together, if you would. Maybe those here, again this evening, they're not children of God. You need support. And the one you get it from is from the Lord. But you have those to assist you in becoming a child of God. Maybe those here this evening, this afternoon, that have been bashful about asking for help. Don't do that. Let the brothers and sisters in this congregation do the work that God intended for them to do. That is part of their work. That is part of what they want to do. It is not just a duty. It is a desire of a true Christian to support one another. Greg, why don't you come forward? And we're going to sing the song that was selected. Song 831. If there are those that we can help in any way, we ask you to come as we stand and sing.